I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 32. The Tide Pontiac Grand Prix of PPI Racing with Cal Wells, driven by Ricky Craven. Episode. Nate's not here today, so.
Oh, we almost had him, but.
Almost had him, but. Yeah. Anyway, so, there we go. Cool paint job. Car was meh. Did get one win, though. Like, they had the closest win in NASCAR history. But that's about it. Anyway, moving on. On tonight's episode, we'll talk IndyCar, short track racing. Well, is it short track?
Gateway's still
call it oval.
No, Gateway's still short. They got to throw on
not a super speedway.
No, but they got to throw on the big wings, you know.
Okay.
It's still big. I mean, short.
It was a fun night. Fun night of racing.
It was. It was very entertaining.
It was entertaining. A little bit of controversy at the end.
What? No, no. Oh. There's never any controversy in IndyCar. They don't do that stuff. Only NASCAR does.
And then, we'll go into NASCAR. A fantastic weekend of racing that finished today, because NASCAR is too stubborn to start a race at a time that's convenient and would have missed all the rain. What do you want me to tell you? They have to start the race at 3:30 in the afternoon when it's going to rain, and could have started at 1 o'clock and been done by 3:30.
Yeah, but why would you do that?
Because the NFL starts all their East Coast games at 1 o'clock, and they don't care if the West Coast people have to stay, you know, get up at, you know, watch the tune into the games at 10 o'clock in the morning. They seem to like that. Or when they're overseas, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. So Formula One, no regard for East, you know, US times, and still draws the crowd. Anyway, just saying.
You know, I did. I was looking at the IndyCar schedule today, and I noticed that for Nashville, the race starts at 3 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, why would they be doing that? Like, why wouldn't you put this to a later time of the day and run out
college
under
football?
The lights? No, Sunday night football. Can't do it.
No.
And you're gonna go right. It's gonna be on NBC, so you'll go right from Nashville IndyCar finale, season finale, to Sunday Night Football, whatever
okay.
that is.
Right. So what happens to the folks that are watching NFL on Fox and CBS? It's like no one's going to watch the IndyCar race.
I know. It's right in the middle of the day. Granted, like this is their argument. Are you flipping it the other way? Like, it doesn't matter
what time they do it
because they're not going to watch it anyways.
It doesn't matter what time they watch it. It's like, well, why don't you just put it on Saturday night and go up against college football? You got a better chance there.
Yeah,
honestly. They're in a no-win situation, but...
Right, but...
Saturday night would be much better.
Yeah, and it's still earlier in that season where it's not big important games yet either. So, I know every week's important, but you got more of the big dogs playing some of the cupcake teams.
Right. Gotcha.
Anyways.
Gotcha. I mean, it's early in the season for the NFL, but anyways. I mean, it's like college football, not NFL, but anyways.
Yeah.
All right. Then we'll have some news and notes, things like that. Want to start off the show, kind of a, well, to me, it's a sad note. but because I'm a big fan of dirt track racing, late model stuff, and unfortunately, one of my, I don't want to say heroes, but one of the guys that I really enjoyed watching, Scott Blomquist, unfortunately passed away in a plane crash this past week. And this guy was an absolute character. I mean, he was America's short track racing dirt style. Like, but he was late model, so he didn't run wing sprint cars and stuff like that. But it was too bad they passed away. The guy was somebody who probably deserved a crack at, you know, something in NASCAR, but absolute nut job, but really just a awesome race driver. And he helped a lot of people coming up through the ranks. And it's kind of a little bit of symmetry. We'll get to it. Don't want to spoil it, but we're going to spoil it. But today's NASCAR winner, Tyler Reddick, actually had his cars built in Scott Blomquist's shop. So when he was coming up, so that was pretty cool. So anyway, so we'll thoughts and prayers to Scott Blomquist and his family. So mm-hmm. That was kind of a bummer, but
yeah,
not that a lot of people know, but to me it was a big deal. All right, let's get into it. IndyCar, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. Why is it called the 500?
They do.
Was it five? It's not 500 miles, is it? No, because they only went 200. Is it 500 kilometers? So it's 260 laps.
Checking.
I couldn't understand why it was. I thought, I get if it was 500 laps.
Yeah, but it's not. It's only 260.
260. So it must be.
Yeah, hold on. What's...
We're checking?
Let's see, 32.
I shouldn't ask that question.
It's...
Sorry.
It's 325 miles and 523 kilometers. So I really don't get where the 500 is coming from. So, yeah.
It's 500 kilometers.
Yeah,
we're gonna go with.
Yeah, well, it's a little over that, but that's the only number that seems close enough to make sense.
I gotcha. All right. I didn't catch qualifying, so I saw the highlights of qualifying. So I saw that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, McLaughlin was. Quick. I mean, it was a good overall field of cars, but then we had the engine changes, which pushed people to the back of the grid. So, like Rosenquist and a couple other folks went to the back.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I didn't catch qualifying, but I mean, at a track like this, you either have a good car to kind of get back up into the field, or you're Penske,
yeah,
just at the front.
Right.
So
you know, I thought that was pretty, I don't know. Qualifying was pretty cool. As the kind of the, you know, then we had Colton Herta had a crash in qualifying. So he went to the back of the field. And that, but, as the green flag flew, the Penske cars moved to the front. But then we had, you know, we had Herta coming up through the field, working his way up. Grosjean made a couple moves to get to the front, and so did Connor Daly. And then, unfortunately, the two of them got caught up in the same incident because somebody, the car in front of them, basically the motor shut off. So everybody had to check out, and unfortunately... Roman got into a bit of Connor. Kyle Kirkwood got involved. I mean, and so essentially, Connor's race, Grosjean's race, and Kirkwood's race kind of just went kaboom right away.
Yeah.
So they all fell back on laps, and then Kirkwood parked the car towards the end of the race. He ran till the end, and then basically they park the cars so they get out of everyone's way, which I thought was kind of sporting. And then shortly thereafter, Pato had an engine go boom, and he was out of the race. So
that was, you know, it was bizarre, but I mean
that was bizarre, yeah. But so that kind of knocked. I would say it knocked Kirkwood, Grosjean, and Award out. Hard to say where Connor was because that was his first race in a bit. So, you know, I don't know where, you know, having just seen him. I mean, he was quick and qualifying. So that took out a bunch of contenders. And then, you know, Pelot started kind of moving through the field, which I thought was not surprising. So he kind of moved up through the field. The one that really didn't make a move, even though he was trying to, was Scott Dixon. And whatever strategy they did, it didn't work this time. And then he got caught out on a yellow, which basically buried his chances to move up. So yeah, that was tough.
I mean, for once, the fuel saving strategy for Dixon did not work out.
Right. We had Malukas, who I think, you know, kind of hung in there with the Penske cars for most of the race, and then the other person that was kind of coming out of nowhere of all people was Stingray Rob. Which hard to believe, but he actually did.
He had a very quiet day.
Right, but he moved up, and then as they cycled through for pit stops, he led for a good chunk of the end of the race. It wasn't going to work out because he was off strategy, but
right.
I mean, he was leading, but if a yellow fell, potentially he could have
been
the mix for it up front. And then the other person that was kind of playing a redemption game was Alexander Rossi. And he was, you know, coming up through the field. So, you know, we kind of positioned ourselves for the last two-thirds of the – I shouldn't say last two-thirds, but last 30% of the race. And then we had Pelot get in – I mean, I'm sorry. Then Power and Malukas got into each other. I don't know. I don't know where to go with this. I think it was kind of a low percentage move by Malukas. But at the same point, Power didn't cut him any slack.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was low percentage in the sense that he was just trying to take the bottom through one and two. So he probably wasn't going to have enough momentum to beat Will off of two. But, I mean, Nate mentioned or made a comment too during the race, and he was like, that was pretty blatant on Will, you know, to do that. And I was like, well, I thought Malukas didn't get far enough up alongside of him, but then I watched the replay back and it was, I mean, he was there.
You
definitely couldn't just come down as much as Will did.
Nope.
There. So, nope. I mean, that was pretty poor on his end, but I mean,
so that kind of got, you know, Will kind of got into a snit about that. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of shuffled the field some more. So now we had like Newgarden and McLaughlin trying to basically, they ended up pitting, taking tires. I think two things happened here. And one of the things that didn't get mentioned was I thought McLaughlin was pretty conservative on the pit entry into the pit lane, whereas Newgarden, who was behind McLaughlin several cars, did exactly what you should have done, which was he carried speed through there. And he basically caught up to McLaughlin right as they got to the pit entry line to where they have to be at speed. And he was right on his bumper. And I don't know if that never got mentioned on the broadcast, but I thought that was a good move by Newgarden at that point. And then now we got a battle for, they're going to just take tires, no fuel. And basically Newgarden's crew did a 5-second stop and McLaughlin's team didn't. And Lee changed hands in the pits to reset the order. And then everyone else who was behind them that theoretically was down a lap. So like Herter, Rossi, Power, those guys, because they had pitted, were down a lap. They got their lap back. They were behind those two. The track got cleaned up. And then we had this is where I don't know. I thought it was a...
Before we get there, I just want to back it up to the stint beforehand, because Joseph got around McLaughlin there at that pit stop, but before that, I thought it was really interesting to see how the strategies were playing out, because before that,
he was going to have to stop.
Yeah, so both Penske's had to stop, and I thought after the restart, I'm going back three cautions. So there was the final one, which was the red flag, and then the one before that everyone came in. And then this last one was where Power and Malukas stayed out. And McLaughlin and Newgarden pit. And at that point, I thought everyone who pit at that point that was on the lead lap would have been good. And initially, I was thinking that's a pretty bold move by Penske to keep one of their cars out and keep the rest of the field pinned down, essentially, for any cars that wanted to get their lap back.
Gotcha.
So, because that would have allowed a few guys to get a lap back and get a couple more guys on the lead lap for that last longer run, and then also for even after going into the red flag. So it could have been a little bit, and then I guess you could play speculation of, would everyone been positioned where they were for when that restart came around that caused the red flag. But that was probably the most uncertain of what was going to happen, because at some point you saw the guys that were fuel saving and they were going too slow versus the guys that were just pushing and knowing that they had to make another pit stop and just caving to it and running that way. So it was that I thought was great to watch. Clearly fuel saving was not the way to go this race, just between how it played out and the pace difference just wasn't there to offset it. Because even Dixon's strategy when during that big green flag run, you could already see he was ahead. No, he wasn't even ahead. The leaders pulled out in front of him, and for him to go on one more stop, he was pretty much dead. But he was so far committed into that strategy, he had to see it out.
Gotcha.
But yeah, all right. So then, fast forward, Newgarden, McLaughlin, pit. Newgarden jumps pit. McLaughlin. So now we're on the second to last restart for the race.
Yeah, and in theory, what should have been the last restart.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So they form up, they go around, they come into turn three. Now, the pace, it was slow. Leader controls the pace, correct? But technically, he does have to stay at pace car speed. Mm-hmm. So that's where the question, I guess, comes in. But so they felt so they come around, they go, the light comes on, and then Rossi goes. Everyone front, couple guys in front, check up. Rossi goes over the top of Power. Gets into Daly got involved, but lightly. And then Who else got involved?
It was mainly those three.
Well, there was, I thought there was somebody else, but anyways, anyways. You know, so that, you know, of course, there we go, red flag. Now this starts this whole thing of, you know, people, you know, saying, well, what happened on the start? You know, and I thought Hinch did a good job of describing it.
Yeah.
Whereas Townsend Bell was just like, he was laying blame on Rossi from the get-go. And, you know, Hinch was kind of focusing on the leader. Because and asking for replays from the front cars, whereas, you know, Bell's like, oh, let's just watch it from Rossi's car. It's like, well, what's that gonna do? Right. The light came on, they went to go, and like the front, a couple cars up front didn't go right away. Rossi went on the light, which he's supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, when the first onboard was Rossi that they pulled up, and he went immediately as it came out, and there was just a delay from the front half, and I was like, oh. Right. Man, I'm like,
yeah. So they had New Gardens, and it didn't sound like it. Just sounded like it was slow, like it was dragging the speed, you know. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question there is, was he below the speed limit of the pace car? That's the question there. Now McLaughlin, you know, I think used his supercar experience and, you know, got up on his rear end and ready to go. But I think McLaughlin was getting kind of PO'd too. But Herter laid off a bit.
Yeah. Well, so if you watched McLaughlin's and Herta's onboards, the argument for them not going was that
Newgarden was
the car in front was actually big, or they were so close to the car in front of them that it was actually blocking their view to the.
What they were saying, and McLaughlin took the high road on it, but I think he wants to say it. Which I think he should just say it. I mean, Jesus. I mean, I'm so sick of this. Let's not say it. That's why I love Power.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Power said enough.
Power said enough. But, I mean, McLaughlin's you just got to come out and say it, okay? And I love Herta, too, because he's right. I think Newgarden was wrong. I really do. And his jerking around caused an accident. Mm-hmm. Herta said it coming through into three. He said he's jerking around with everybody and said it again in the mid-turn coming out. And then when he went down the straight, he said, yep, that was, you know, completely dirty. You know, in terms of the restart. Of course, you know, Power gets out, you know, less than thrilled and realizes what happened. And then, you know, he wasn't – I don't think he was mad at Rossi because what are you going to do?
Like, no.
He wasn't, you know, you got – it's like – Power went to go, and he couldn't go because Herta couldn't go because McLaughlin couldn't go because Newgarden didn't go, you know? And, you know, so, I mean, and, you know, at some point somebody's going to climb on top of somebody, come over, you know, the best part was Power comes over the wall and just gives Newgarden the finger. So now we have three now of Newgarden giving the finger, so which is great. We have the double bird at New Hampshire.
No, Power giving the...
Yeah, Power. Sorry, you have Power given double bird, New Hampshire, this race, and then where was the other one he did it?
Road America last year.
Oh, Road America last year.
Road America last year was then
they pulled. This is the all time classic. This is the all time classic. So I had listened, and it kind of there's if you, I had listened to Kevin Lee's Dinner with Races podcast. And they were talking to him about, you know, what do you do in an incident like that? Because Kevin was doing, he used to be the pit, well, he's now doing the lead play-by-play. But he, you know, he's doing the pits and stuff. And he goes, well, I always give the driver the benefit of the doubt. So I don't want to get in their face about anything because I want to make sure, you know, if it's a heat in the moment thing. So he had been with Power a couple times. Oh, at, what was it, Detroit when they had the... When the engine, like when they sat in the pit lane, the engine overheated and he couldn't restart. And he was livid about that. And like, you know, Kevin said something to him. And he said, nope, not now. And so they let it sit. So Dylan Welch sees him right there. He goes, you want to talk? And then Power turns and just basically tells him to F off, you know? And then he turns around and he goes, oh, crap. And he turns around and he actually talks to him. So he kind of like, he was pissed, but he kind of knew he did something wrong and he ended up, you know, talking, but I mean, it was kind of funny, you know, that just like going to your power is it's hit or miss. I mean, God forbid if they were live on TV with that, I personally would have been in hysterics.
Oh no, you mean like live with
when Dylan went to talk to him, Dylan, and then he goes, Will, can I get a word?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then of course we would have had NBC, you know, apologizing for, you know, 3 hours of, you know, salty language. And it was like, you know, it's like, what do you want when the guy gets clobbered? Well, gets put out of the race, doesn't agree with how it went down, and now you're asking for an interview. I mean, it's, you got to let it, you know, it's either hope the guy's going to cool down quick, or if he's somebody like Power, you got to give him like a couple minutes. And he's fine. But Power turned around and like literally like 30 seconds came back for an interview. So I gave him credit for that. I mean, it was pretty funny.
Well, and you could see like when the crash happened, like he did not, his first reaction was not get out of the car, turn to whoever hit him and go in their face. He went over the wall right to Newgarden. Like that.
Yeah.
You could already tell where he stood.
And, you know, and then Cindric was kind of, he didn't want to say it. I think he was gonna, which is fine. If I was him, I'm just gonna like, I'm not gonna say anything.
Yeah.
You know, but McLaughlin is just like, he's got to get more like SVG and just say the stuff, and he's got to be like Power, because he's gonna just turn into this Penske robot. And it's like Newgarden right now. Half the reason people don't like him anymore, he's not personable.
Yeah, I mean,
he just goes into denial mode. He does the whole PR thing, and it's like he never did that before, you know. But then again, he wasn't on Penske. But I mean, you know, it's like I like Power because Power thinks that everyone should just be themselves, you know, that's why I think McLaughlin should just do it and not worry about what somebody in Penske PR is going to say.
Yeah,
it's like, please, you know, it's like, that's the only bad thing of running for Penske. It's like you, like Blaney runs over it all the time, and I'm sure he gets like ripped all the time, and you know, at Penske for saying stuff. Mm. I mean, I'm surprised Logano didn't get, you know, fined internally by Penske for last week's stuff. But
yeah,
you know, that's the only bad thing of running for Penske, because it's just this whole image thing. But anyway, so you know, so to clean that mess up, back to the race. Then we go around, but of course Newgarden doesn't lay around this time. He goes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what McLaughlin was thinking. It's like, dude, he's gonna go this time, and he did. Yeah. And McLaughlin was like, you know, forget it. You know, it was like, I mean, Herter had nothing. He had nothing left in the tires, so I don't know why he was challenging Lindquist, because all that was gonna do was get him in trouble. You know, in terms of potentially an accident, which knocked him further back on the points, because he had a good point haul to get himself up to, into, I think, I may have gotten into second. I'll have it when we get to that next. But Pelot was behind him, so this was on a hard charge. So, I mean, I just let him go, you know, at that point.
Yeah, but
you know, what are you going to do?
I think he realized he got a bad exit out of two, and then was probably moving over. And by the time he was moving over, he probably already saw that.
Ultimately he let him go. And which is like, okay, he let him go. At that point, it's like post race, you know, we find out Herter had a penalty. I'm like, look, the result? If he held off, I could see that being a penalty. Okay. Or there was an accident. Given the fact that Lindquist got by him, it's like, well, at that point, there's no why at that point, just let it go. There's no reason.
That, and then the fact that did he run him to the edge of the track? Yeah, but he left him enough space so he wasn't in the grass.
And then ultimately, when they got to the point of decision, he let him go.
Yeah, yeah, like he knows when he's been beat.
Right. So you know, all they ended up doing, well, it worked out for Polo's favor because they moved Herter behind Pelot.
Yeah.
But it was just like this is my thing. It's like, if you could question Newgarden about the crap on the start, whereas Herter just kind of like, okay, drove him defensively, went over the line, but then he let him go. It's like, okay, well, at that point, there's no penalty. Why give him the penalty? Mm-hmm. You know, whereas before, the other one caused an accident, and that's the other piece that a lot of people are kind of fired up about.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyways, so race ends. Newgarden gets the win. We have Lundqvist, McLaughlin, followed by McLaughlin, Lundqvist, Pillow, and Herta. Felix Rosenqvist fights up to sixth. Nolan Siegel with a good run to seventh. Marcus Armstrong, eighth. Stingray Robb, ninth. And Rinus VK, tenth. So, some new names up in the top ten. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for, first top 10 for Stingray, so great job for him. And then second podium this year for Linus.
Yeah. Linus, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move over to the points. So now we move on to Portland.
Yes.
Road course. All right, so this in theory should play into Pillow, close hands, because it's a road course. So he's going to have to make hay here. Herd is going to have to make hay here, too. So now we have Pillow, who is 59. I'm sorry. Yes, 59 points ahead of Herter. Herter's a 6 points ahead of Dixon, so they flip flopped. Dixon's 1 point ahead of Power, and Power is 7 points ahead of McLaughlin. And Pato is for the championship. I think Pato is. I think he's too far out. He's at 345 to Pillow's 443. So, yeah, I just don't see Pato unless he has a couple strong weekends coming up, but hard to say.
No, I mean, it's going to take a retirement from Pillow for this thing.
Pillow,
kick back because. He's already.
Because if he wins at, you have to assume if he wins at Portland, then he is playing the points game in the next three races, right?
Yeah, and I mean, he's what 60 points ahead. Right
60
now?
Points ahead of her. Yeah.
So he's already a race to the good at this point,
right?
Which
so his thing is fall out of a race. If I'm in a race, I need to finish ahead of her.
Well, I mean, not even that. I mean, he just needs points. And right now, like, he is, where is it? Why don't they ever make this easy to grab? Checking. Okay. If Pillow does not finish outside of the top five.
Yeah.
Other than Detroit, which take that with exception. But even if he finishes top 10 or top 15, like if it's top 10, whoever wins is getting 30 points on him.
Yeah.
All right. So if he goes, I mean, we're going to assume that he does well at Portland, so probably another top five finish there, so no one's really making any inroads there on him. And then Milwaukee is a doubleheader, and if that's the place where it goes wrong, but even that, it can't really be that bad because Gateway, they did okay. So if we're going to use that as the test bed for it, then he'll show up with a decent car. And then by the time it comes to Nashville, the championship will either be locked up or all he'll need to do is just finish at that point. Because regardless for showing up for a race, it looks like they just get 5 points. So, yeah. And then there's bonus points of whoever leads a lap gets a point, and if you you have the most laps led, you get two additional points as well. And then if you get pole, you get 1 point.
So, yeah. So it's really now it's close to lose, right?
Yeah. At this point, it definitely is. I think the other interesting bit will be if Dixon can jump Herta for second place and get a Ganassi 1-2 in the points,
which is possible.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think that would be the more that would be something interesting to watch, considering. I mean, at one point, like it, the question almost becomes, how did Penske lose this year? I think that's another talking point potentially, because there's just inconsistencies across all three cars.
Yeah, and I think the Penske on Penske crime, like we saw this weekend, that's happened a few times this year, and I think that's what's going to ultimately cause that team not to win the championship.
Yeah, and I mean, I know. Look, you could even reinstate Newgarden and McLaughlin's finish from St. Pete. It would boost Newgarden by 50 points, so that would put him
367.
And I don't know where McLaughlin finished in that race, but he was up there. So even if we say fifth, that's 30 more points for McLaughlin,
right?
Which that would put McLaughlin in championship contention. He would be in he would be in second if that's the case, you know. So yeah, unfortunate, but and then McLaughlin had, wow, man, McLaughlin is really too. It's either very good or it's very crap result for him.
Yes. He's had a couple of good results of late. But yeah, he's had it's feast or famine for him.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's either outside the top 20 or on the podium.
Right.
With the exception of a couple of races, but
yeah,
that's kind of the trend of his season, where, I mean, Pelot has been Mr. Consistent all season, pretty much top fives everywhere, except for Detroit and Iowa, and then Dixon just had a couple more races where he was finishing outside the top 10. So, and again, like, I mean, that's the thing with IndyCar, like, consistency will get you there. And I mean, Herta has been, he's been on the podium and won at Toronto. But other than that, he had the spin at Indy that put him out. That was really unfortunate because he was running strong there. And then, and then the first race at Iowa, he was outside the top 10. Oh, and Detroit. So, I mean, those are his three bad races, but everything else has been inside the top 10.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. So, on to Portland we go.
Yep.
All right, we'll come back for our picks.
Yeah.
Let's just talk NASCAR real quick. So, as we said, there was a rain-affected race. They got about a third of the race in yesterday. Finished the last two-thirds today. And honestly, it was an uneventful race, to tell you the truth. It came down, again, a typical NASCAR, came down to a green-white checker. Two times. Took them twice to get it going. Essentially, Tyler Reddick made the move and made it stick and left Will Byron behind, and he did get a push from Ty Gibbs, who's like kind of a technical partner, because Reddick's on 23XI and Gibbs is with Gibbs. So, he did get a push there, but overall, like I said, the race itself was pretty uneventful. There was a big wreck in today's portion of the race. Larson went in. That the biggest thing they were having again was it was the tire wear, and Larson fell afoul to it, and you know, basically he went past somebody, got a little bit of the aero off the rear end of the car, and the car just went right around, and you know, he, you know, unfortunately, like four or five guys get into him, and that ended everybody's day there, and that was a couple of the contenders. Bubba Wallace was one of them, so, and Chris Buescher was the other, so that kind of impacted him. So anyway, so that's kind of how that race went. I mean, the biggest gripe was, you know, with everybody was, you know, NASCAR, you know, just being ridiculous with their start times and stuff. And I think it's starting to, at some point you got to start listening, you know, to the team owners, to the fans, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, so, unfortunately, I'm not in that camp, and I don't watch the races, and you answered my gripe about the racing, which is, oh, it ends in a green white checkered. Shock.
Yeah, again, so, you know, just... and it's not like, oh, today was a green white checker, you know, it was again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
and I mean,
every time,
even, actually, I shouldn't say I didn't watch anything. I did watch like two laps of the Xfinity race because I was, because I flipped on the TV,
on Saturday. Sorry.
Yeah, on Saturday, a little bit, too soon before the IndyCar race popped on, and
Okay, and that was still going. Oh, and that was held up because of rain too.
It was held up because of rain. Yes, however, they red flagged it, and when they did throw the red flag, they were going to go to restart for overtime, and I'm like, okay, so we've technically gone race distance, and now we're just waiting to complete overtime.
Right. Yeah.
Because we can't make a decision on the order that we already have and just abandon the race because it rains. Like, weather happens.
Yeah.
And like, don't get me wrong. I know we watch F1, and like, you can sit there and be like, oh, well, it's boring. The same guy wins all the time or whatever.
And sometimes some of that stuff's starting to creep into F1 too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But
it's really wrecking the race experience.
But my point about what I'm trying to say here is like I get F1 can be boring some days, but at least like there is no overtime. Like they throw the red flag, and it's you know, reasonable. Yeah. I mean, like the IndyCar red flag at Gateway, those ones I'm kind of indifferent about because I know it stinks finishing under yellow, but like, you know, you're only throwing a red flag in that case because you want the race to end under green and have a proper finish, which fine, but it, like, sometimes you win a race because of that. Like, what if Malukas was in the lead at that point? He wouldn't want it to be red flagged. He would want it to, you know, finish under yellow and get going. Or even if it wasn't Malukas, like if it was some other lower team, like say it was Stingray Rob, say he got caught out in the right spot, right time, and you know, it worked out for him.
Like the thing that it's starting to creep into a little bit of IMSA too, because when they have these incidents at the end of the race, they donkey around with it to the point where they create a 10-minute shootout, which is completely contrived for television.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, come on, you know, who are you kidding? Right.
Well, and it's just getting back to what like NASCAR is. It's like, all right, we're going to run the cars for 400 miles and then let's have a 2-lap shootout. Like
who's the overarching owner of IMSA?
No. I get that point, but I mean, if you're just going to have a race end with a green white checkered, why run the full race at all?
Right.
And again, if you want different winners or whatever, like throw out qualifying, have everyone literally show up. You get a warm up lap to see if your car runs, and then you grid up based on where you draw your position out of a hat. I mean, like that's where you're going with it. If you want to play it to the extreme, like that's
no, you're 100% right.
Which, if that's how you want a race series to be run, just say it. I mean, you'll probably get eyes on it because it'll be exciting and it'll be like horse racing. Everyone watches horse racing because the it's one lap and that's it. So, all right.
Rant over. There we go. Rant's over.
Oh. All right. The only other thing about NASCAR is I heard cars went flying.
Yeah. Corey LaJoie get upside down. Yeah. It's, you know. It's like 2 weeks in a row. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Let's just take a quick look at the standings. That's right.
We have updated standings, not only because of Reddick's win, but because of some news that came out after we posted last week's episode.
Last week after. Because Austin Dillon didn't. So Austin Dillon, that was the big thing.
Yeah.
So Austin Dillon's win last week was thrown out post the recording of our podcast.
The win still stands.
The win stands, but it's effectively
his playoff eligibility is now.
I don't know. Just take the win away.
I know.
Whatever.
The automatic bid to the playoffs is gone.
So they got fined. The team got fined. Dillon, basically he got fined by not being in the playoffs. Childress got fined. The spotter got suspended for yelling wreck 'em, which was like so blatant it wasn't even funny. And then Logano got penalized for a little bit of BS on the pit lane. But I'm going to go with him. I'm going to say this. Yeah, he shouldn't have done that. But B, people doing in the pit lane and the race, I mean, basic cars were coming off the hot. It was a hot track at that point. You know, what were people doing in the pit lane? So what was Austin Dillon's entourage doing in the pit lane? It's a hot track. They're not supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be there until every car is off the track and in the appropriate line. So, whatever. But anyway, so that was a lot of that. There's an appeal going on. Hopefully that'll amount to nothing. So we'll see what happens there. So right now, our points leader, without the, Reddick's the overall points leader, but he's locked in with today's win. Truex is still leading the in guys by 30-something points over Ty Gibbs. So NBC was wrong on that today. They were saying that he had taken over that. He had not. And then we got Buescher, Chastain, and Darrell Wallace still hunting around. Kyle Busch is on the outside looking in. He's in 17th behind Suarez, with Chase Briscoe right behind him. So Austin Dillon has a win, but he will not be in the playoffs. So that's that. Next up for NASCAR, it's the Coke Zero Sugar 400 from Daytona.
Whoa.
So we can, this will be next Saturday night at 7:30 under the lights.
Saturday.
Tune in for the first 10 laps, and then you can, as long as we don't have rain, just tune back in about 2.5 hours later, and you can catch the last, you can catch the overtime.
Yep.
Is that how it works? Okay.
Pretty much. I mean, granted, right. it is Florida, so it will probably
never know. Yep. All right, so that's NASCAR. All right, let's move on to news and notes. The biggest
story was Dillon.
Well, Dillon. But then did we talk about Canepino getting let go, and Connor filling in for the rest of the season? Or did that break afterwards too?
I thought that was, what was it originally announced as? Because Because the story came out that Canapino's split with Hunkos.
He split with basically they released him.
Yeah.
They're concerned about the leader cup points. So they're bringing Connor in to get that. I mean, Connor had a decent finish here, still got some points. Mm-hmm. So that helps. Now we got we still have three oval races left where Connor is quite good at.
Yep.
Obviously he's decent on the road course where I think Agostino was pretty decent too. So Connor has to, if he gets a top 10 finish here, then I would say at Portland, I would say it's a plus. Mm-hmm. So that's happening. We talked about Malukas going to Foyt.
Yes. Yep. Right. Because then that snowballed into where Rossi goes.
But what's really coming out of that is what we kind of had alluded to. Really, what the real reason is that Penske wants to take a look at Malukas for, possibly, I think, replacing. I think Will probably. Next year could be Will's last year with Penske. Mm-hmm. So I think he's taking a look at 2025 to see, where he is.
Yeah.
So. Unless he's looking at Santino, God only knows. But the rumor is that Penske ponied up some money to Foyt for that, to put Malukas in there. So not surprised by that. Nothing else has come out. Nothing else has broken since, at least on the driver market for IndyCar. So we're there.
I mean, this is also a Monday we're recording this on, too, so...
Yeah, Monday. We're a little bit early this week.
There could be some stuff.
Story could be breaking, yes. Could be breaking right now as we speak.
Yeah, could be.
All right. On the NASCAR front, the only big news after Dylan was that AJ Allmendinger is back in the Cup Series next year, which makes no sense after this year. I'm like, what? Why didn't you take him out? You're bringing him right back, so I just don't get that. But anyways, glad AJ's back. In terms of, I think that's it. IMSA's this weekend. They have the GT Festival down at VIR.
Yep. It's going to be. Where is? Oh, I just had it. So it's going to be the GT cars in the WeatherTech series, so both GTD and GTD Pro. Just making one class. The IMSA Pilot Series is also going to be there, and the VP Racing Sports Car Challenge will be there as well. So that's the LMP3s and the GT4s, I believe they're 45-minute races. And then we also got the MX5 Cup as well.
Okay.
So
that'll be fun.
Yeah, good stuff there.
Right. IndyCar, like we said, is at Portland. NASCAR is at Daytona, and Formula One is back.
Yes,
to Zandvoort. So very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. And there's no more news on the F1 front that I've seen.
No. No, the Nui news is kind of stalled.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what goes on there.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Nate posted a picture on his boat.
Yes, he did.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. We wish Nate.
Well, not his boat.
His first assignment.
His job. His job. Make it sound like, holy crap.
We'll wish Nate good luck on his first journey.
It's exciting.
He said he's going over to Europe, I think.
Is he? All right.
So he's going to have Germany and I think Netherlands and Belgium, too. I think he's doing that kind of a road trip. Right. So
that's exciting. Yeah. All right. So why don't we get into our NASCAR pick? I mean, our NASCAR picks, our IndyCar picks for Portland.
Yes. Yes. Let's do that. All right.
And we'll do our Formula One picks to close out the show.
All right. Nate got his picks in too.
Yes, I saw that.
And also congratulations to Nate for picking New Garden of the Penske Boys to win.
Oh last yeah. Week.
So he got that. Honestly, all of our picks were looking great until like late in the race.
Late in the race.
Because Daly was going strong and then had his incident. And then Malukas was right there in the top four with the with the three Penske drivers, and the three of us picked a Penske driver to win, so we all had pretty good odds going into that.
That was pretty cool. Pretty good.
So for Portland this week, Nate is going to go with Plo to win, and he's got Marcus Armstrong as his dark horse.
Dark horse, I like that. Yeah. All right, I am going to go with I'm gonna go with her to win.
Okay.
And my dark horse is gonna be Rinus VK.
Alrighty. I'm gonna go McLaughlin to win. Or McLaughlin.
Okay.
I don't know why I've been having a problem saying his name lately.
McLaughlin. McLaughlin.
Scotty Mack is going to win. And then
Scotty Mack, I like that.
Yeah. And then Dark Horse is going to be Christian Lundgaard.
Okay. Nice. All right. So, we got some good picks there. Mm-hmm. So, Nate, all right, let's do Nate's picks for Formula One, Zandvoort.
All right. So, Nate's got the trying to emerge as the Hambot Ver podium of what's trying to come out with this is Max to win, Lando second, and Piastri to on third to round out the podium. And then his
dark horse
was Nico Hülkenberg, which by no surprise he has definitely been the standout driver of the midfield. So props to him.
Okay. I am going to go with Max to win. I am going to go with Checo to finish second. And I am going to go with Carlos Sainz to finish third. My dark horse is going to be Yuki.
Max, Checo, Sainz, Yuki. Okay. All right. I'm going to go Max to win again, so I'll put the kiss of death on there. But, you know, it's his home race, so... Well, mm-hmm. that's what we're aiming on this time. And then I'm gonna go Lando second as well. Third, I'm gonna go with Alonso because they did really well here, or they've been doing. Aston Martin has done really well here for the past couple of years, so maybe there's hope that they got something left. Also, always going to root for Fernando. And then my dark horse, because he finished on the podium last year, is going to be Pierre Gasly.
All right.
So, yeah.
There we go. All right. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. Produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.